Welcome to A World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places.
Like a coffee shop in an airport terminal.
Or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tapman, and wow, we are together. We, meaning my boss and co-host, Andrew Gale.
Yeah.
Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Not together as in the same room, but we're on video screen recording this together. That hasn't happened in a really long time.
It hasn't, although we will be actually in the same room together next month, which will be really fun.
Yes.
Get to come over and visit you and see where you're living, which is awesome. But you're right. I don't think any of our podcasts this season have we been together. It's all been conversations that we've had in separate times and then piece those together. So very fun to get to end the season with a little bit of a conversation together today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of you that have listened to us on a regular basis, you will know that we do our seasons kind of a fall season, and then we take a break, and then we do a winter spring season. And so we are just wrapping up, what is this, our sixth season? Is that we're wrapping up?
It is season six. Yeah.
So
we'll start season seven. Yeah. We'll start season seven in February or January. I don't know if we've decided exactly when a start date is, but coming up in a couple, we'll take a break, and then a month or so we'll jump back in.
Yeah. So normally what we do is we will go through and kind of do a season recap. We're not going to do that this time, but we have kind of a topic.
Everyone
that
rejoiced. I think everyone will be happy we're not recapping.
I think so too. I'm happy.
Although
we're not
it is
recapping.
A good season, people should listen to it. You got the African leaders that speak. You have the MKs. There's some great pieces in there, but we're not going to recap it. That's the recap. That's it. I'm not going to do anymore.
All right. That's it. Okay. Are you going to keep this part in?
I don't know. We'll decide later. Decide how much time I want to spend editing. But yeah, so we had a good season. I want people to go back and listen to it. We just don't need to talk through it all. They should go listen to those interviews. They're so good.
Absolutely.
So good.
Absolutely. So Andrew, our audience will know we're not going to record and send this out right away. So we are recording this before Christmas, but our listeners will hear this beginning after Christmas, the day after Christmas. What Christmas traditions does your family have? Do you guys have any traditions that you want to share, or maybe you have traditions you don't want to share? I don't know.
I don't know if we have traditions we don't want to share. We love, we love Christmas around my house. We put up our Christmas tree way too early. People will judge us for that, and we're totally okay with it.
How early?
This year was especially early. My son was very interested in having the tree up, and my wife and I were very done hearing our son ask us to put the tree up. So I want to say it was shortly after Halloween. I want to say it was maybe the first week in November. Yeah, really early.
I'm judging you. But that is too
early. No, please. It's okay. I know it is very early, but it's always, we always take it down really quickly after Christmas, you know, or just after the new year. So it doesn't stay up very long, but this year it is a little bit longer. And we have some Christmas traditions we love to do around here. There's a house that has lights we love to go and see every year. So it's one of those where you like listen on the radio to the music. It's really cheesy, but my kids love it.
Yeah.
So we'll make hot chocolate at home and go sit and watch that. So just kind of, we do lots of things as a family that we enjoy. We'll travel to see family. Autumn's family now is in Anderson, so we don't have to travel far for them, but we're heading back to Kansas. After this is up, we will have already been in Kansas and back, but we're leaving for Kansas to spend time with my family. And so, yeah, those are the kind of things that we loved. It's family. It's doing things together. Christmas Eve, we get pajamas. You know, that's the one present they open on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, we do presents. I mean, yeah, not a lot of really specific traditions, but things that we just that the more we've done them, they've kind of become traditions over the years. But how about you? Have you had? I guess there's kind of two parts to this. I'd love to ask: are there traditions you did when you lived in the States, and then are there different or new traditions that you're experiencing in Spain?
So I would say overall, Stacy and I are not very traditional people, if that makes sense, when it comes to holidays. So
yeah,
we do things every year, kind of special things, but I wouldn't say, oh, we do, you know, the same thing every year. And so, which moving to Spain and trying to figure out all of the Spanish holidays and traditions and things like that, it kind of leaves us open to trying new things. So, one of our traditions, I guess, if you call it a tradition, we wait until after Thanksgiving, to put up our tree, usually that weekend after. So that's usually when we put our tree up. We have, Advent stockings. Many years ago on one of my trips, we found these little stockings on a string for Advent. And so we buy little gifts that we put inside the Advent stockings every year. This year, it was, I guess, my turn. I was going to say my turn, but this year I was in charge of buying gifts for the Advent stockings. And I probably went a little overboard in that, I guess you could say. I mean, these stockings were meant for like little pieces of candy and things like that, but I didn't do that. And so we have our Advent stockings up, but all the gifts for that day go outside the stocking. So, so that's one of our traditions.
That's cool.
The last 2 years, this will be the second year, our son and his wife will be coming to Spain and spending holiday season with us. This year, they're coming before Christmas and leaving before Christmas. Last year, they came after Christmas. So we haven't been able to get be with them on Christmas Day, which is okay. We're not complaining at all. We get to spend time with them. That's all that matters. So, yeah,
that's very cool.
Yeah. So, Andrew, one of the things that you do every month as the executive director of Global Strategies, you send out a newsletter. And in that newsletter, you often have regional updates, just a little blurb of things that are happening around the region. Or around the world in each of the regions, have prayer lists and things like that. But you also will write an article, something you've been reading, processing, something you heard. This year, you obviously are using the Christmas theme. We thought, to our listeners, we thought it would be a great idea just to kind of ask Andrew to kind of summarize what is in that article, why he wrote that article, and just share a little bit about his thoughts on what he wrote and why he wrote that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, so this is I send out these kind of blogs once a month. If you want to receive them, feel free to email us here at Global Strategy, globalstrategy@chog.org, chog.org, and just ask to be on the, it's called Alongside is the name of the blog, the Alongside blog. And I send that out once a month, and we do post them on our website too. But this year, as we got closer to Christmas, this was an article I really wanted to write. It's based on a little section of a book that I really like. And I thought, man, I really want to bring this out. And so I've waited all year to get to the point where I get to write this article. And so put it together and just thought it'd be fun to share here as kind of almost a thought starter as we enter in for some, as we pass Christmas, but as we think about thinking back on this Christmas season, Advent season. And so this article comes from Kenneth Bailey's book. Kenneth Bailey is a phenomenal resource if you're looking for someone to really look into the culture and historical world of Jesus's time, what was going on then, what things were happening, what life was like, and how that affects the way we read scripture. He's an incredible resource. He has a number of books. They're thick, but they're really, really worth going through. And one of them is called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And he has a whole section on Jesus' birth that goes through a number of different, things that we assume about Jesus' birth that may not be accurate. But one of the pieces that always, every time I look through it, catches me is a short section he has that's called Joseph the Just. And what he does is he looks at a passage of Matthew 1:18-19 and asks a really important question. So I'm going to read this passage and then kind of give you what his thoughts are about it. So the passage from Matthew says, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." And so the question that that Dr. Bailey brings out is he asks the question, why is the author of this gospel calling Joseph a just man? So it says, you know, because Joseph was a just man, he was going to divorce her quietly. But why is that just? Why is that action just? Because if we look at the Old Testament is very clear as to what happens when women are pregnant out of wedlock, and it's not a pretty picture. And so the just thing to do, I mean, the thing that follows the laws of the time is not to divorce her quietly. So here he is doing what is contrary to what the laws of the time would have said, and yet the author of Matthew is calling him a just person. And so Kenneth Bailey just starts to wrestle with this. What does this mean? What does justice look like? And he ends up drawing on Isaiah and talking about the suffering servant, and that there's a vision of justice that may be different than the way that we conceptualize justice as following the letter of the law. And he talks about justice more as compassion and mercy. And to me, that's always just been, as I get to that point, that's such a part of scripture that I rush past as I read this. And when I pause to actually read that and then ask the question, you know, why would the author be calling him just? It causes me to ask more questions about what's going on, what the author is trying to tell us, and what may be happening in that moment for Joseph and how he may think about justice. So I just shared that in an article and yeah, I thought it was a fascinating way to kind of approach this conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, I was able to read the article and the chapter of the book too. And so much, so many thoughts kind of run through my head that don't really have a whole lot of time to go through here. But for me, and when I see and think about Joseph's life and when I hear the word justice, my mind immediately goes to the Micah 6:8 passage. And, you know, Jesus quoted this as well, but in Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly." And it's that last part, to walk humbly. I think we could all say that Joseph was a man that showed great humility, in that he could have done, like you said, the right thing, what the righteous thing was, what the right consequence was for, you know, Mary being pregnant.
Following the letter of the law. Yeah.
He showed a lot of humility in his decision and the way that he was wanting to handle it, and not looking down upon Mary or looking down upon someone who was in a very difficult predicament. I think in that chapter, that same chapter that you're referencing, the quote is, "Here justice means compassion for the weak and exhausted." And that really spoke to me. Yeah. And kind of stood out, you know, in regards to how we may think of what it means to show justice, you know, giving people what they deserve. But what does it mean instead to be, to show compassion through that justice? And what does that mean? And how might that change how we look at somebody or how we look at a situation?
Yeah, I think that's just it's so important. I think it's oftentimes when we hear the word justice, again, we go to very legal words. And we don't often realize that, you know, in the Old Testament, there are a couple words for justice and righteousness. They use two separate words to describe those terms. In the New Testament, when they function in Greek, they don't have two words. They only have one. And so what ends up happening is we end up not fully understanding, I think, the complexity of what the term justice means, because it ends up with a very legal understanding rather than recognizing that it's also about right relationship. I mean, it's justice and righteousness in Greek are the same term. And so there's not two different ways of understanding. Justice and righteousness are one and the same in Greek. It's why if you look in I think it's Matthew 5, if you go through the Beatitudes, twice righteousness is listed as one of the pieces of the Beatitudes. And most people would say if the original hearers of that would have heard that most likely in Hebrew or Aramaic, and it would have potentially had two different words there. But in English, we don't have, you know, in Greek, they didn't have two words. So it became one word. And so then coincidentally in English, then it ends up being the same. But we miss out on, I think, the depth of that idea of justice and what does it mean to be just. And so I think you're exactly right. Seeing justice as compassion and his mercy seems counterintuitive, right? Like, if justice is about equal application of the law, or it's about kind of retributive justice, you harm me, you know, eye for an eye idea. But this is a different kind of justice that's about relationship and about mercy and compassion. And we actually see that lived out in Jesus's life, right? I mean, that ends up being kind of Jesus's whole existence, is to bring out this new vision of justice. I mean, even from the very beginning of his ministry, justice that is looking at mercy and compassion was his cry, his what he was calling people to. And so, yeah, I think that's just a really important. It starts early on. You know, we often think about Jesus in that light, but it starts even with Jesus's stepfather, or however you want to talk about Joseph. You know, with Joseph as a part of this. You know, even from the very beginning, you know, Joseph was modeling a different view of justice.
Absolutely. And you know, as we think about ministry in our local church, as we think about ministry cross-culturally, you know, I one of my favorite passages, and a passage I've been preaching on lately, it comes from Luke 4, where Jesus says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And then he says to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, et cetera, et cetera. And over again, we're reminded of, you know, Jesus' purpose in coming here, yes, was for salvation purposes, but it was also to provide this relief and this compassion and mercy to those who couldn't speak up for themselves, for those who couldn't help themselves. And again, we're starting to get into another topic here of, you know, splitting between
an important one,
you know, can we split up, social justice and the salvation, message, gospel message? And, you know, I don't think we can, and you know, we can, read all throughout the gospels of where Jesus, intertwined those two together. We see an example of that through the life of Joseph, as you've highlighted. Well, thank you, Andrew, for sharing that with us. And as Andrew mentioned, you can find that through the newsletter. You can also find that on the Global Strategy page at chalkglobal.org in the blog post. And thank you all for taking the time to listening to our podcast, listening to these episodes. We hope that it is bringing you hope in this world, a time where so much is happening, both good and bad. But it is our hope, our goal, our purpose in doing this podcast is to share those stories where we see God doing good, and we know that God is doing good all across the world. And so thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing these episodes with others, these podcast episodes with other people. And looking forward to season 7 right around the corner.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.